Well, I want to speak, being Father's Day today, about a famous dad in the Bible. And, of course, that famous dad the reading referred to was Caleb. And there are three things I want us to remember about Caleb this morning. And the first thing is that Caleb was a man of commitment. He was a man of commitment. Secondly, Caleb was a man of courage. And thirdly, Caleb was a man of combat. He was a fighter. He was a fighter for the Lord. Well, let's look at the first point there. Caleb was a man of commitment. And at 85 years of age, he makes this statement found in Joshua 14, verse 8. I wholly followed the Lord my God. What a great statement for a man of 85 as he sums up his life, that he wholly followed the Lord his God. He gave himself unreservedly to the living God. And you know, Paul wants us to do that. And if you're a lady here this morning, and I know this is a Father's Day message, but it's a message for you as well. Because we can relate, all of us can relate to Caleb and what he did for the Lord. And all of us are in combat. If you're a Christian, there is a battle to fight. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So just as Caleb gave his heart to the Lord, gave his life to the Lord, Paul encourages us also to give our lives as living sacrifices. If you're a Christian, you need to practice what you preach. And Caleb had commitment, and he practiced out that commitment in his life. I heard about some girls that were talking about their dads, and one girl said, my dad is a doctor and he practices medicine. The other girl said, my dad is an attorney, a lawyer. My dad's a lawyer and he practices law. The third girl said, my dad is a Christian and he doesn't practice anymore. How sad. How sad. Caleb was a practicing man of God. And Caleb knew the Lord and knew what God had done for him. And he was wholly devoted to the Lord his God. Well, if you trace the history of Caleb, we meet him in Numbers chapter 13. And you might remember that the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt. And the Israelites saw God miraculously deliver them from the Egyptians. The Egyptians were the most prominent fighting force of the day, a fierce fighting force. And this unarmed Israelites, God delivered them miraculously out of Egypt. There was that great exodus through the Red Sea, and God delivered them. He drowned the army of Pharaoh, and they were set free from the bondage of the Egyptians. And God had a land for those people. And we know not only did he deliver them from the Egyptians, but when they were wandering in the wilderness, God provided manna from heaven. He provided water from the rock. God provided them all the way for them, all the way in the wilderness. Well, if you trace the history of Caleb and the history of the Israelites, in the second year after their deliverance, the Lord instructed Moses to send out 12 spies to check out the promised land. And you find that in Numbers 13, verse 3. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And you know the story. They go out there for 40 days. They scout around the promised land. And they return with a sample of fruit from the land. And it took two men to carry a cluster of grapes. You ever got a cluster of grapes from Woolies or Coles? Or you certainly don't need two men to carry a cluster of grapes out of there. Well, the land of Canaan was a fruitful land, but it was also a fearful land. But they come back and they have this great cluster of grapes, and they show that it's a very fruitful land. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. And those 12 spies, they all saw the same thing. And those 12 spies had to make a choice. It was a choice between faith or fear, and it was a choice between winning or whinging. And 10 chose to whinge, didn't they? Well, there were two spies that stood out of the crowd, and that was Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb and Joshua were willing to take the promised land. They were willing to obey God and go into the land of Canaan. Caleb was a man of commitment. He was willing to take the land no matter the cost. Secondly, Caleb was a man of courage. Out of all the spies that went into the land, only two stood strong, Caleb and Joshua. And they wanted to take the lands. And upon their return, the spies told Moses and Aaron and all the people about what they saw in the land. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a productive land, but also it was a possessed land. It was a land that was possessed with giants and walled cities. And you see that in Numbers 13, verse 28. Here is the report of the spies. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And look at the sad news in Numbers 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? Joshua and Caleb, they stand out from those other 10 spies, and they bring back a positive report to the nation. If you look at their speech, you see in verse 7 there of Numbers 14, And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Here's a lesson for us. Believers in the Lord Jesus are called to courage. Just as those spies were, they were called to be courageous, and only two stand out from them that trusted the Lord, Joshua and Caleb. Imagine that scene. You've got this great clump of grapes. You're exhibiting the fruit of the land. And there's just two men that stand alone. And God's people, not the enemy, God's people want to stone them. How sad. Those two men were not afraid to be in the minority. And if you're a believer here today, never ever be afraid to be in the minority. If you go back through biblical and world history, you'll often find that there's one of God's men or one of God's women that are willing to take a godly stand for God's honour, and in many cases they stand alone. Let's go to Mount Carmel for a minute. There is lonely Elijah. And there is 450 prophets of Baal. And there are 400 government-sponsored prophets that were fed at Queen Jezebel's table. So if I've got my statistics right, that's 850 to 1. One man on Mount Carmel. I've been to Mount Carmel, a beautiful place there, overlooks where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. But just picture there is one lonely prophet and 850 prophets against him. Never be afraid to be in the minority if you're God's man or God's woman. Even sadder than that, with the 850 prophets and that lonely prophet standing on Mount Carmel, Elijah looks for support from God's people. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. Elijah says this to God's people. So God's people are on the mountain, and he says this: "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Not a word of support from God's people. Not a word of support from God's people who knew that they had a fantastic heritage of rescue. God had done wonderful things for the nation of Israel. And here is a lonely prophet against 850, and he looks around for the support of God's people, encourages them to make a choice. Not a word. It tells me here that, God's people may stand as a minority against the world, but God's people might stand even as a minority against the church. How sad. There's been figures throughout history where they've wanted the support of the church, and the support of the church has been nil. The church has been silent. So here's this prophet of God, and God's people are completely silent when he would like their support. Elijah had no human support on Mount Carmel, but he had God's support when he faced the false prophets. Sometimes men and women of God find themselves in lonely places, even without the support of God's people. But never be afraid to be in the minority. Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." I take great encouragement from the people of God, men and women, that were largely in the minority, that we're going to go out into battle for the Lord. Joshua and Caleb were prepared to stand against the giants of their day, because they knew that the great giants and the great walls were no defence against the great God. And so they had courage. They believed God's promises. They'd seen God's provision. They knew God's presence. And they'd witnessed God's power. And Caleb's strength came from the fact that he trusted the Lord in every situation. Caleb was a man of commitment. "I wholly followed the Lord my God." Secondly, Caleb was a man of courage. "The Lord is with us, fear them not." And thirdly, Caleb was a man of combat. There were giants to find in the land. There were strongholds to demolish. There were these fortified cities that the Israelites had to penetrate to defeat the enemy. The 10 spies, as I mentioned, were afraid. They were afraid of what they saw. Numbers 13, verse 32, "And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, as so we were in their sights." So Caleb's prepared to fight the giants. He's prepared to pull down the strongholds. And Caleb's prepared to fight for his inheritance. And not only his own inheritance, but the inheritance of his children and his children's children. Can I say, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, there are always giants to conquer. There are always strongholds to pull down. And when we face the giants, there is one of two responses. The response can either be faith or fear. Faith or fear when we fight the giants. And we need not fear. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." when he wrote to the Romans, he said, "We are more than conquerors through him that loved us." When he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You know, I've never seen so many giants and so many strongholds and so much deception in our nation that I've ever seen in all my life today. This country is not what it used to be. There are giants in the land. There are strongholds of lies that need pulling down. And this nation needs the gospel. And this nation needs men and women that courageously stand against the strongholds and the giants of our day. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13. Paul here is encouraging the men to stand up. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." What he's saying there is, act like men. He's appealing to the Corinthians to act like men in their day. Caleb was a man of combat. And Christian today, are you prepared for combat? Ephesians 6 verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Have you noticed what's missing from a lot of modern Christian songs? What's missing is the battle cry from many Christian songs today. How many songs do you hear like "Onward Christian Soldiers," written in the 1700s? "Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal banner leads against the foe, forward into battle sees banner go. At the sign of triumph Satan's host doth flee. Oh then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundation quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Like a mighty armour moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod." How many modern songs do you hear like that, that are talking about the battle? I used to run a kids club with Judy, and we made sure that the kids knew that they were in the battle. We would constantly sing, and Josh, you'll know this, "I'm too young to march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I'm too young to zoom over land and sea, but I'm in the Lord's army." Remember that song? That's right. So, not that I've got the voice for it, but we've got to be making sure that we realise that we are in the Lord's army. And Caleb was a man of combat. He knew that there was a battle to fight. He knew that there was an inheritance to claim. He knew that there were giants to conquer. He knew that there were strongholds to be pulled down. And we need to realise that as Christians. You know, if you read the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah knew that the people of God had to be involved in construction and combats. If you look at Nehemiah 4 verse 13, "Therefore said I, in the lower places behind the wall and the higher places, I even set the people after their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." We as believers are involved in a conflict. It's a spiritual battle. And I've never seen the conflict as fierce as what I see now in 2023. Sadly, many people in the church are asleep to the conflict, and that reflects, I think, in a lot of the modern music that's around today. Caleb was a man of commitment. Caleb was a man of courage. Caleb was a man of combat. Listen to his words at the age of 85, Joshua 14, verse 10. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Now, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Caleb wanted a mountain, and this man with a godly attitude got the great altitude that he wanted. At 85 years of age, he was willing to go into the greatest battle for the mountain to be his inheritance, and the inheritance for his children and his grandchildren. The choices Caleb made not only affected him, but it affected those for generations to come. Dads and granddads, as we think of Father's Day today, and we need to be thinking that we are indeed in a battle for the spiritual inheritance of our children and our grandchildren. Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. 12 spies went into the promised land. Only 2 were willing to claim their inheritance. When others saw their difficulties, Caleb and Joshua saw their destiny to live in the promised land. Let's be like Caleb today. When others see giants, we see God. May we be like Caleb, who believed God's promises, he knew God's presence, and he witnessed God's power. May we be like Caleb, who wholly followed the Lord. May we be like Caleb, who was willing to stand against the majority when he knew what is right. May we be like Caleb, and let us always try and pursue the higher ground that the Lord has for us. And may we be like Caleb, who was willing to battle for the blessings that God had for him and the blessings that God had for his children and his children's children. The spies had a choice to make. Faith or fear? Fruit or failure? And you might say grapes or gripes. 2 spies saw the grapes. 10 spies had the gripes and became grumps. How sad. Caleb was a man of commitment. Caleb was a man of courage. And Caleb was a man of combat. And we are reading about Caleb today because Caleb was a man that wholly followed the Lord God. Just a couple of final things about Caleb. You know, it appears that Caleb came from a foreign family to the Israelites. If you read Numbers 32 verse 12, it says, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzites. Who were the Kenizzites? Well, the Kenizzites were descendants of Esau. And somehow, under the intervention of God, Caleb, whose descendants were aliens from the people of God, was brought into the tribe of Judah. Now, you think about that in relation to the gospel. There are numbers of Christians that haven't had a godly heritage. But in Christ, we are brought into the family of God. in Christ we are new people because of what Christ has done for us in going to the cross. He brings us into the family of God the moment that we accept Jesus as Saviour. Ephesians 2 verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So here's Caleb, a foreign people, and he's brought into the people of God. He who could have been distant from God, God in his grace brought him into his people. And it's the same with us. We were once estranged from God when you did not know Jesus as Saviour. But when you accept Jesus as Saviour, you're brought in to the family of God. And God wants to do great things through you and I if we know the Lord Jesus as Saviour. What about you? Do you know that God has delivered you? Do you know if you're saved or not? You know, there are millions and millions of people in Australia that are not saved. They have no hope of heaven. And I believe in these difficult days that people are actually seeking the Lord. You know, we had the doors open here yesterday. There was a market on down the bottom there. We had around about 60 people that came into the church yesterday. I believe that people now, in this day and age, with such uncertain times that we're living in, with the giants that we have in the land, with the strongholds of lies that are being promoted, that people are searching. They're searching for meaning and people are searching for truth. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you have been delivered and you have the answer. When Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Do you know Jesus as your Saviour? This might be the last time that you hear me speak. I often wonder about when I've spoken to people. There are some people that was the last time I've ever spoken to them in a church service because they've gone off into eternity. I get news and they've died. And I have a responsibility to bring the gospel. And some of those people may have heard the gospel for the last time. And they go out the doors of the church. And they didn't know they were going to pass away. I didn't know they were going to pass away. And did they go to a Christless eternity? If you don't know Jesus as Saviour, I appeal to you this morning. Come to know Christ. Realise that he went to the cross so that you can have eternal life. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, are you pressing on? You may not have had a great start. You may not have had a great family or a great name. But if you're a Christian, you have a great God and you have a great purpose in him. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And when Caleb looks back at his life at the age of 85, he makes the statement, I wholly followed the Lord my God. At the end of our life, may we be able to say that. I know it's pretty expensive these days to have a headstone, but wouldn't that be a great headstone to have? I wholly followed the Lord my God. May we be able to say that as well. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Father, we thank you for this great man of faith. And Lord, as men and women have heard your word this morning, we pray that, Lord, that we wouldn't be wilderness wanderers like those other 10, but that we would be Canaan conquerors as we allow you to work in our lives. Help us, Lord, to stand against the evils of this day. Help us to come against the giants, not in our own power, but in your power. And help us, Lord, to break down the strongholds of a society that has gone away from God. Help us to stand. Help us to be like Caleb. Help us to realise, Lord, that we are leaving an inheritance behind. That whether we're married or single, Lord, we can leave a godly inheritance to others as we allow you to work in our lives, as we live attitudes of gratitude because of what Jesus has done for us. Help us to do this. Help us to be Canaan conquerors. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.